The sum of the first five triangular numbers is a tetrahedral, and that number is 35. And this is the 35th episode of the Godfathers of Podcasting, brought to you by NordVPN, Coffee Friend, Eyeglasses.com, Fight TV, Kangol Hats, Camelback, Air Vape, and Just CBD. All of these great sponsors have wonderful advertisements and specials available for all of you out there, the audience of this program. Go to godfathersofpodcasting.com/our sponsors to visit them and to check out what they have available for you. Get some great items right before Christmas. You can also go to our shop and pick up some great merchandise like this. Or, you know, we tell you each and every week that we've been podcasting since before podcasting was even called podcasting, and we ain't lying. We've been podcasting since before podcasting was even called podcasting. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Donnie DeSilva, and it is my pleasure to introduce to you the Mr. Roper and Mr. Furley to my Jack Tripper, the incomparable Chris Tidwell, and your bro, Danny O.
You know, I never thought I could feel sorry for a number before, but if that's the best that 35 can do, that's a sad-ass digit, nigga. That's a sad-ass
right?
digit. What does a triceratops have to do with 35?
No, it's a tetrahedral.
Oh, a tetrahedral.
I think that's what you got. You got a touch of the hedral, actually. if you would add an ism to the end of it.
I'd like to get a vaccine for tetrahedral.
Yeah, man. That's what it sounds like. You'll need one.
Seriously.
Listen, I could have done the cliche thing and brought up like Kevin Durant or some other, you know, sports reference of 30. I'm trying to pull out some different knowledge to drop on the audience, Daniel.
There's not a lot of 35 love out there. I would love for the audience to fill us in. What would you attach 35 to? Because I don't know. That one was a different one.
The funniest thing is, Dan, for all of you out there that don't know this, Dan has an obsession with the number 10. Like, it's an unhealthy obsession.
He's not like the only one. There's people out there, dude. It's that 1001. 1001. It's that binary fucking thing, man.
He doesn't even know what binary is. It's just the fact that he was born on the 10th.
I'm not.
And then because of that, he swears he sees the number 10 everywhere. 10 is good luck. And he does this thing where, like, you know, he will look at numbers like... The first house I ever bought, he came to visit me, and the house, the door number was 82. And he goes, "Oh, 8 plus 2, it's 10. That's good." I'm like, "Oh, thanks, Dan. I appreciate it."
Oh, yay! I could do math.
When I moved into my condo that I'm at now, he's like, "Oh, guy, so you're on the 10th floor. That's great."
Come on, man.
He doesn't
Come
stop.
On.
Yeah. So, and you know what? Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, when I looked at the number 35, I was trying to see, was there some mathematical equation I could come up with to get to 10? And I'm like, I suck at math. So tetrahedral it was.
You know what the funny thing is, bro?
All of that.
Anytime people talk about their the superstitions they have regarding numbers, like, oh, 4 is bad luck in certain cultures and this and that, I'm always the one going, that's some dumbass shit, man.
Right. And then you sound just as fucking ridiculous.
Wow.
That's
Yo,
so funny.
Guys, I was at a Blue Jay game on the 10th day of the 10th week, and number 10, he hit a home run in the 10th inning at 10-10, and I was sitting in seat number 10 in the 10th row, and I sucked 10 guy, and I did this, and I did that, and that's what happened.
That's a true story. That's a legit true story.
Donnie, do you have a number thing too?
No. I'm a grown man.
Oof. Wow.
Do you, Tid?
69?
See, grown man.
That seems to be
it's a little juvenile, but whatever.
Whatever. Who says I'm not?
Dan, if you go to like a restaurant that has everything where it's like order by number, do you hit number 10?
86 no. has also been worked for me too, just by the way.
Oh, really?
86. Yeah, I've been 86 from a few places.
We should 86 this bit.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah, but real talk though, like only money I've ever won was on a roulette table when I bet on 10. Like I could go like
come
we could
on.
Do this whole show. No, real talk.
Come on. Yeah. Really? Is it that big of a thing for you?
Oh, it's like, huge. I'm ridiculous.
Laughing. I'm laughing because of how true that shit is. Like,
do other people know this?
Handle. Yeah. Well,
everyone close to him knows.
And what's funny is I've always told people this, like, it's kind of cool, but this is the first time I felt like the world's biggest jackass listening to this story. That's actually pretty fucking funny. It's all true. I won't even lie.
Does your therapist know? Does your therapist know?
I think I need one after this.
You definitely need one.
Yo, I'd like to know where it came from.
Well, he's right in that I was born on the 10th, but I started rhyming at 10. My shoe size is 10, and
your shoe size is not 10. If you're a half size over is. 6, I'll be
no,
shocked.
No, if you put both of them together.
Yeah, and how many toads?
He's a 10 kids.
When you put together
7? What? 7 ten, toes.
10 toes? Is that what you just said?
Well, he just said you got to put my feet together for size 10. That's when you get 10 toes. Do the math.
No. Oh my god. No, if you put 1 foot behind the other one and then you measure it from front to back,
size 10. Might,
there you go.
But that still includes 10 toes. Where are you going with?
Wait, it might be a 10. It might be a 10 in children. Do you pay tax on clothing?
If there's a way I can get out of it, let me know.
Dan,
I speak out of jealousy. That's it, man.
Yeah.
Dan even has this thing where with any of his boys that he's known forever, right? 10 is the sacred, like,
yeah.
I would never lie about this.
Yeah, it's like saying I swear to God.
Right.
And we've always said 10, meaning, you know, I'm telling the truth. You know.
And so wait, you had this thing in your own head, right?
And you got everyone to go
and you got everybody.
Okay. This is the legit crazy part. Y'all can laugh, but like that was established before anybody knew I had any affiliation with the number. So when we became boys and that became a thing, I think it was Grimace and them who made that shit up. And so, you know, I come from a crew who also like reveres the number 10. As a matter of fact, big shout out to the brand. Listen, everybody out there, there's a brand new Spotify playlist that's all Monolith tracks.
And one
of the tracks on there is called 10, which involves the whole crew. So like I said, it ain't just me, but I laugh because it's funny because it's true.
Has it been like 10 years since Monolith has gotten together to make a new track?
Probably longer.
Or did they come up? Did they come up with 10, knowing your story and your infatuation with it, as a way to, just really?
To appease the general.
To indoctrinate me?
Yeah, right. No, to make sure they didn't piss you off or something. I don't know.
Hey, man, it's just a thing.
The fury of your 10 voodoo. Maybe they wanted to.
Let me ask you guys a real question. For real. Do you guys ever feel like certain things happen that aren't just coincidence, that maybe there's a little bit more of a meaning to it? Or do you think it's all bullshit? There's no real bigger meaning to like Signs. If you ever saw the movie Signs and then you realize that certain things meant more than you thought they were, that's what 10 is to me. And it's worked many times in my life.
But you guys
have nothing like that? Are you not? You
hunt it out, right?
No, sometimes, for real.
The way that the human brain works, like I used to know somebody who was obsessed whenever the clock would read 11:11.
Right. Yes.
And they would
make a wish.
Right. And they would swear that every time they looked at a clock, it was all 11s. And I'm like, well, that can only happen twice a fucking day.
Right.
So. Sure. But like the way some people talk is like, well, there's just, and then they get it in their head, like, well, there's 11s everywhere, right?
Right.
And it's not just people with 11s, it's people with anything. Like once you create that, and it's like you with your 10, it's anybody that gets this idea in their head, their brain is going to become predisposed to that.
There is a
movie. Wasn't there a movie, 23?
Number 23,
Is that what it was? Yeah,
Jim something Carrey. Like that. But yo, the shit, listen, this is not like I'm trying to make it happen. When I got my first job, okay, at Kmart, I was associate 46, 4 and 6.
Yep.
Then I got my second job at the Toronto Star. I was representative 271. Hey, man,
Hey, yo,
seven
that's
plus
only,
two plus one.
That's, dude, seriously, 271. That's like, whew, that's like 206, 200 and what, 59 away from your dream number or some bullshit.
Listen, I can, you know, I'm not that good in math, but I can add the small digits, and when they equal 10, I gotta get happy about it. Right.
You're just playing blackjack across the board. That's what it is.
Hey, roulette. I got my. That's the only money I ever won.
Thank God you were born Canadian with the metric system. Everything's rule of 10.
See? Perfect 10. 10 out of 10. 10 is always the greatest in everything. Just saying. Wow. There's a
unless
lot of.
You're, unless you're rating out of 100.
That's a good point. Wow.
Dan, you're a solid 10 out of 100.
Oh, what's 100, bro? What's 100?
Hey,
10
okay.
times 10. Okay.
But I'm more of a Spinal Tap kind of guy, man.
You're more of a what now?
A Spinal Tap kind of a guy, man. That shit goes to
five.
That shit goes to 11. So
has Dan ever seen Spinal Tap? Have you ever seen Spinal
Probably
Tap?
Probably not. No, he doesn't. He knows nothing about nothing.
Is Spinal Tap on Prime? Because I heard Dan just got Prime.
I did.
I've been watching. You should look it up. You really need to see that.
Spinal Tap. It's called This Is Spinal Tap, right?
Yeah. Oh, very good, Daniel.
I know
good,
some stuff.
It's just a good white boy movie.
It's part of a whole mockumentary series done by a lot of the same people, right? So and it's they're all pretty funny in their own right. But Spinal Tap is like the godfather of all of those things, right? And it's great. You need to watch it.
I watched it again like last year, year and a half ago, and it still holds up pretty well, man.
Really? Of course it does.
It holds up pretty well after all this time. Some of the stuff's kind of corny, but whatever.
I watched that movie. Like, it's one of those ones, like, when I go to the cottage, Kelly will wake up the next morning, and I've already got it on. Like, every single time, boom, Spinal Tap is on the TV there. It's what you wake up to while you're making breakfast or something like that. You know what I mean?
It's one of the ones, right?
Like, there's another one. I'm flipping through channels or whatever, and all of a sudden I see, oh, The Warriors is on. So I just kind of, you know, in my own head, I turn it on and I got to be honest with you. Kelly looks at me. She's like, really? You know the fucking dialogue to this fucking movie.
Yeah.
Can we not watch it at least once? And I'm like, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Spinal Tap is Tid's Christmas Story.
Yeah.
Christmas Story is my Christmas story.
Oh, good. Nice. Okay.
Well, you're going to put your fucking eye out. I got it hanging on my wall.
Bridget.
And I've got the lamp.
Check this out. This is
great for the radio audience. Okay.
Okay.
What are we describing here?
I have an autographed leg lamp pin.
Nice.
From Teddy Moore, who is the actor who plays Mrs. Shields.
Mm.
Ms. Shields also gave me some Lifebuoy soap. And trust me, I got the lamp. I got Christmas story. Yo, all kinds of Christmas stories.
He's even got the pink bunny costume, folks. And if you send in enough requests, he'll wear it.
And I only wear it when Auntie Clara comes over, all right? Auntie Clara.
She makes you.
So, Dan, you just got Prime, I heard, on Facebook this week. What the hell are you watching if you're not watching Spinal Tap?
I have just – I'm not done yet. I'm almost done the first season of The Boys. That became the most highly recommended. I put the word out there, and that's what the most highly recommended thing was. So I'm almost done the first season.
Are you loving it?
It's dope. It's crazy. I don't even want to say anything to anybody who hasn't seen it yet because I was lucky enough to have had the concept ruined for me.
But here's the rule, dude. Like, there's time on this, man.
I know.
You're into season two is over. You're looking for season three. You're not giving out any spoilers at this point.
Well,
fuck them.
I love that.
Let me tell you what happens in the last episode of season two, Dan.
Somebody dies.
Motherfucker, you.
Right? You see, that's the difference.
Here's the crazy thing about The Boys. I'm going to tell you what's making me feel crazy about The Boys. I'm feeling real whack as far as my acting career goes because I have three actors that I've worked with who are in The Boys. It's shot in Toronto. Mm-hmm. And three actors that I've worked with are in it. I'm like, I need to get more auditions because I've not got a Boys audition once. But pretty cool to see some people that I know in the show. And yeah, it's definitely a dope show.
If Dan gets an audition for season three and becomes one of the seven, I will lose my mind when he gets fired for arguing with the directors that the seven has to change to the 10.
Hey, man, that might even be the concept of season three, to add some more dudes, and we're the 10. That's how you know I'll get that part.
Dan will be in there. He's like, yo, seven's cool, but we need like three more honeys.
No, he wouldn't even do that. He would just say, like, I'm 10. Y'all can stay with the seven, and then we can do it like, where's eight and nine? It's like Chanel number five. Nobody ever gives a fuck about one, two, three, and four, right? And that's the backstory. You find out that eight and nine were like some crazy shit living on an island somewhere or some shit, right? Yeah. And then you showed up number fucking 10.
We are easily making that show worse. Somehow.
Speaking of speaking of television shows that are out there right now, I don't know if either of you watch this show. I have a feeling Tid does. I'm willing to bet my whatever's in my wallet right now that Dan's never watched 1 minute of it.
Okay, so how many white people are in it?
Season 11 of Shameless just came out, and Tid, do you watch Shameless at all?
Yeah, I haven't started watching the new season yet.
Okay.
I've watched both British and American ones.
I don't love the British one.
Because Frank is just...
British versions of shit are usually really dope.
In the American.
Frank on the American version is
the best,
fucking genius.
Just the best.
Yeah, the whole cast is really good.
Tremendous. 100%.
The writing is
I'm looking forward to this last season.
Yeah, and I'm disappointed because I guess I slept on it. I didn't realize season 11 was the final season, but it is.
Yeah.
It's the final season, and I guess it makes sense because
Emmy
Rossum.
It goes to 11.
I know they ruined it.
You know what? The truth is, they could have ended the whole thing on the season 10 finale.
Okay.
Because the season 10 finale was dope.
The way it finished, you were just in there going... Okay, seriously. Like,
I know.
That's where we're doing this?
There's loose
ends.
Fuck
you. Fuck everything about you.
I know. I don't love the show as much since Emmy Rossum moved on because, A, she's nice to look at. B, I think she's a tremendous actor. And she was the character thread that held everything together. They've changed it now. I think the guy that plays Lip is a fucking genius in terms of the way he pulls everything together. And it's funny how, like, the young kids on that show are now adults you know, they've all grown and because we've grown up with these characters, right?
That's always one of the coolest things though, right? When you watch these shows, because there have been other shows where you're like, and you go back and you start at the beginning again, just for novelty's sake, or one comes across, you're like, oh, I wonder what episode this is. And you're like, holy shit. Cause you can tell right away. But as soon as you see so-and-so on the show, you're like, wow, they're young. Right.
When you watch season one of Shameless and Debbie is like a 10-year-old girl, and season 11, she's, you know, an angry, slutty lesbian that's, you know, currently under house arrest for statutory rape.
Spoiler alert.
Well, not really. Not really.
It is pretty amazing to see people grow up on that show. But I've noticed, though, and you tell me what you think, I find like a lot of those actors, because they grew up playing that character, they get pigeonholed as that. Like, we'll always see, you know, like Harry Potter is an adult now, but he's still, that's Harry Potter. And you know
a lot of...
I was going to say
a lot of the actors from that show have sort of started to jump off and do other things. Like,
yeah.
The girl that plays Debbie was on Roseanne, the new reboot of Roseanne.
Okay.
The kid who plays Ian, the gay brother, he got himself a really dope part playing the Joker on Gotham. And he was phenomenal as the Joker.
Yeah.
He was great. And he's done a bunch of other things. I actually think it's phenomenal. The kid that plays Ian and the kid that plays Mickey, the two of them, they're both straight in real life. They're both married. They have wives. But they have the most on-screen romantic chemistry I've ever seen of any on-screen couple in my life.
Like you and Dan?
No, because Dan and I fight too much. Oh, well, actually, these guys fight a lot too. They beat the shit. They beat the shit out of each other, and then they fuck. So,
so exactly like you and Dan.
Yeah, I guess it's similar. Dan's gonna be so mad, guy. You need to edit that shit out.
That reminds me of actually on The Boys, how Haley Joel Osment, is that how you pronounce his name? The I See Dead People kid.
Yeah,
you're seeing him as like, Yo, dude's a big man now, bro.
But this is the thing. Great. This is what you do. As soon as you see that person grown up or you see that person in another role, you always revert back to what was the first thing I saw him on.
Oh, for sure.
For the longest time, it was always Oz. Remember that TV? Remember that show, Oz?
Yeah,
right? And you look and you're like, oh, that's so-and-so. I remember him from Oz. That's so-and-so. I remember him from Oz. That's so-and-so. I remember him from Oz. There were so many dudes who came on. The funniest part was most of the guys, did you notice, most of those people that were like criminals and inmates in Oz all became cops on like Law and Order.
Yeah, you gotta give a lot of credit to actors who can pull off both, though, because it's not that easy, especially when you're trying to extricate yourself from a character that you're so well known for. And I think probably, and I could be wrong, but I think many of them might want to play cops or something that's completely separate from what they played before.
Right.
Before, because you know there's those certain actors, especially like the character actors, who are always the thug or always the, even always the cop. Like, you know Reginald Val Johnson, who's the cop from Die Hard, and he's also Carl Winslow in Family Matters.
Yeah.
And he's in Ghostbusters. I saw Ghostbusters with Melina Reeve. He's a cop in Ghostbusters. Like, that guy's only a cop in everything he played, ever.
Yeah.
Anyway, just saying.
Same costume.
I was going to say, this isn't really a spoiler because it was in the trailer that came out for season 11 of Shameless, but I found it really fascinating when I watched episode one, because they've only released episode one so far. It's set as of current day, so everyone's wearing masks.
Oh, wow. You know what?
It's COVID, right?
And
Frank Gallagher at the beginning of the show is walking down the street in Chicago, and he's having some kid, some student, film him with a camera because he's doing some documentary about, you know, gentrified locations and whatever in the city and cities that have been ravaged by COVID. And Frank's talking, and he's like, you know, at one time, this strip had a couple of different great bars run by my family, and now it's 7 hipster coffee shops. Well, it's down to 3 because of the COVID. You know, goddamn China virus did something right. Got rid of some of these fucking hipster coffee shops. And it's like, oh my God, like, how does he get away with saying that, right? Because it's Frank Gallagher, and he says whatever the fuck he wants, and he is the projection of the Trump guy, the alcoholic, the white trash, everything else. And it's like, it's so far off from what the rest of the world is producing right now.
Right.
Dan, I think you would enjoy this show just because almost every episode you have one of those, did they just do that moments?
Well, I'm fascinated by the fact that they're doing that, because I literally asked the other day, almost just out loud to myself, like, when is something going to show COVID in the production? Because everything we're watching now is somewhat before it all started, and it sort of helps us escape what's going on in the real world. So I wonder, at what point are they going to be able to not, you know, pretend like it ain't happening? And
commercials
are starting. Exactly. I am. Right? That's the point. They're starting to do it too. So is that a good or bad thing? Because we do want to see stuff that we can kind of lose ourselves in, but also is the constant reminder that COVID is here an issue for your entertainment purposes? Have you guys seen the trailer for Songbird?
No.
Okay.
What's Songbird?
Songbird is a movie about COVID-23. And it seems to be just ever so...
We're already on a 23?
Yeah, bro. It's like, this is where we're going. I suggest you check the trailer out. Maybe we'll talk about it next show. But yo, this shit is tripping me out, guy. And sometimes
23.
I think maybe I don't want to see...
Easy,
dude. Carrey. I am gonna be so dead before then.
No, only the good die young, you sour son of a bitch.
It's gonna be 99.
If I can rewind from COVID 93 back to 19, there's been a lot of talk over the last week, gentlemen, about vaccines, vaccine distribution, what that looks like, and I don't know about y'all. But on my social media, there definitely seems to be this prevailing sentiment of, let them put out a vaccine. I'm not fucking taking it. I don't trust it. I want no part of it. They're not putting it in me. I'm not signing up for this. I've heard different reports from different parts of the world, different cities in North America, where they're saying they're going to get to a point in 2021 where in order to even enter a business, a store, a mall, a bar, you're going to have to provide proof of vaccination. Mm-hmm. Obviously, this creates a litany of moral issues for the anti-vaxxer community out there. This creates a litany of issues for the COVID hoax believers. And you know, there's those that are autoimmune that have issues taking vaccines. Now, I've been told, and I'm not a doctor, but I've been told that there are versions of this vaccine, and I forget what they're called, but there's a version of the vaccine that, that doesn't operate like most vaccines. They're not giving you a weaker dose of COVID-19 in order for you to build up immunity. It's something completely different. They're not putting any COVID into your body in order to create the vaccine. Because that's what people think of when they think of vaccines, right? You get a flu shot, it's a weakened form of the flu. So this is a little bit different, apparently. There are versions of the vaccine, because I think there's four or five different formulas right now. And one of them or two of them are weakened versions of COVID that it's supposed to trigger your immune system to develop antibodies. I'm curious to know, gentlemen, where do you each land on this in terms of if we go through the cycles and now we fast forward and it's spring, summer 2021, it's already been rolled out to seniors in homes. It's already been rolled out to, you know, healthcare workers. It's already been rolled out to, you know, frontline workers. And now it's come to you. Are you lining up to get your vaccine for COVID-19, knowing that it may or may not limit you socially in terms of what you can or cannot do?
I have to say, man, hearing all of this is one of the first times that I started really thinking about a lot of the conspiracy theorists and the idea of our rights being taken away, that I start going, maybe there's something to it. I mean, I'm a dude. I don't take the flu shot. My doctor's been begging me to take a tetanus shot. I don't take all them shots. I don't shot. That's not me. I don't
shot,
do it.
So
to be honest with you, I'm not going to be in the guinea pig line. It is going to require a heavy and seriously long list of people who've taken it and not gotten all fucked before I even consider it. Because right now I'm in the hell no department.
Why? What are you afraid of?
I've always been afraid.
What's going to happen?
When you inject yourself with something, who knows what could happen? I too am not a doctor, but I'm someone who I'm like.
Ted, what do you inject yourself with?
I'm not about that. I don't do shit. You guys already know. With the exception of alcohol, I'm technically straight edge. Like I don't. I'm just not about it.
Okay.
To be honest.
Were your parents?
Were my parents what?
Were your parents about it?
Vaccine?
About vaccines.
Yeah, but this is a brand new.
No. Hold on. Let me.
Yeah, boy. It's a brand new vax.
But you got to remember, put yourself back then when those were brand new vax, right?
Brand new vax.
And then all of a sudden, you've got to have, I mean, you've got to have your child vaccinated before they can go to school, right? Yeah.
And that's a
back and forth as well, just like this. But I'm saying, like, you got to remember, what side does that fall onto for you? And if you're okay making sure that these vaccinations go into your children, then you should be okay that these vaccinations go into you.
But what is the downfall of it? But that's the thing. I don't know yet. Until motherfuckers try it, and we can see whether or not there are side effects, downfalls, fatalities, then I can answer that question.
Okay. Well, hold on. Okay. So here's the thing.
To your point, the vaccines we got as children, same vaccines my daughter got after she was born, those vaccines, they've been given out for how long now? And we've seen that things such as polio, measles, these are things that we're not enduring anymore because of these vaccines. So there's a history of proof, right? Yep. So I need to see that.
Well, here's the thing. Two different parts here, Dan, to sort of unpack. One is we're not in Russia. So in Russia right now, over 100,000 citizens have already received a vaccine that was developed in Russia. I think it's called Sputnik or something like that. So this vaccine...
No, that was a spaceship.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I know, but apparently it's got a similar name. But apparently this vaccine has not completed testing trials. They're pushing it out the fucking door.
You ain't testing me.
All of the but that's
can't
Russia.
Test me.
You're not in Russia.
Fair now.
You're not getting. You're not getting that brand new vax. So here in North America, they have several different versions from some of the biggest pharmaceutical companies that have been working on it.
Sure.
And what they talk about is, I watched a doctor talk about this quite extensively, actually, on TikTok. I saw a doctor talking about this where he said a lot of people, he's a legit doctor, and he's talking about how people have issues with vaccines. They're worried about side effects. They're worried about this. We're worried about that.
Right.
And his point was, well, all of the side effects that you're worried about from a vaccines don't stay in your system forever. The incubation period of a vaccine is very brief. They are finding people that have recovered from COVID 6 months ago still having long-term results, long-term effects that affect their fertility, affect their mental acuity, affect their speech, affect their taste, affect their hearing, their sight, all sorts of other things. So they're saying the risks associated with a vaccine are far outnumbered with the risks of catching COVID. And a lot of people like to point to this whole thing of, well, only like point something percent of people die. It's not just about dying.
Yeah.
It's about getting COVID can cause long-term ramifications to your health. Mm-hmm. And what they're saying is the incubation period from the testing trials of all of the North American vaccines now extend longer than the amount of time that the vaccine would be in your system.
That in and of itself, though, is like there's more than one vaccine. So as you say, they're still during the test periods. There's about four or five of what you just said.
Going to offer different versions. There's going to be different versions that are out there.
I don't want all the versions. I'm not trying to make a mixtape.
No,
figure that shit out.
No, Dan, it's that's not it.
Are you saying that you're first in line, Don?
Let me just address Dan's first comment. In terms of there being different versions, some people are allergic to penicillin.
Okay.
Some aren't. You have to have different versions of the same treatment.
Okay.
That's all, right? Okay. Some people are able to... There's one version of the vaccine.
So this isn't like I Am Legend and they're trying every single thing to see which one works more than the other.
No, these are things that are in clinical testing are showing over 90% effectiveness.
Okay.
That's extremely high for a vaccine.
So you would take it? 100%.
Okay. If it becomes available... And I'm offered the opportunity to go get it.
Okay.
Shoot me up, bro.
Okay.
Go ahead, here's
my thought on it. We, as our age group and where we are in the demographic of things, we are way down the list on who's going to get this thing first before it becomes readily available. So you're going to get to see some kind of proof behind it. More importantly, my question is this, like, if you think about it, I can't understand why you wouldn't be first in line for this, because if you think about it, it's a COVID-19 vaccination.
Holy shit. You're so right.
Nine plus one is kiss my ass, motherfucker.
Brand new facts.
See, you see, Donnie?
Tid brings the facts.
Donnie came with all this medical science bullshit. All you had to do was that, Tid. Now I'm ready.
I'm just keeping it straight, bro.
Brand new facts.
Oh my god, I love it, boys.
Listen, a couple other things that I want to touch on. Our featured guest is supposed to be joining us shortly. He's not here with us yet. So we talked last week about, is Jake Paul fucking crazy? Jake Paul goes and calls out a couple of guys who are known for fucking people up, and now his brother goddamn lost his mind. Logan Paul is going to be fighting Floyd Money Mayweather in February of 2021. Opening odds, ladies and gentlemen, from Las Vegas, Nevada. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Minus 5,000 on Mayweather. Mm-hmm. Logan Paul plus 15. Tid, as the resident Las Vegas native, are you going to throw down a sawbuck on Jake on Logan Paul?
Here's the reality of that. Like, if you look at those odds, that means you got to throw down $5,000 to make $100.
Oh, wow. Right.
How crazy is that, right?
Right.
And
right.
What is it? Minus plus 1,500?
Plus 1,500 on Paul.
For no, dude, the only thing I would throw on him is a brick. Right? Like, legit. I hate everything about these clowns. And the problem to me with all of this is this is not something, like, you can see what Floyd's doing, and you cannot make this a legitimate fight. You have to make this an exhibition, because in no way, no shape, no how would any commission, or should any commission, ever allow a dude who is 50-0 to fight a dude who is, like, 1.5 to who gives a fuck.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I don't understand the appeal of this event, because you're talking about boxing legend versus
YouTube.
Who's this guy?
No.
It's
who's this guy? Is
he
because
draws.
We're not his
really?
Audience.
Okay,
100%. He draws though.
The Paul brothers.
Millions.
Yeah, the Paul brothers are massive YouTubers, like
wow.
In the
no
millions
doubt.
And millions and
no
millions.
Doubt. We
of fans.
Are. We are, like, not even,
yeah.
You know, close to anything
I
what they so are
lost.
Doing.
I'm lost in that world.
We are not their target demo. We are not the target demo for the Paul brothers.
No, I would love to have those pieces of shit on the show so I could talk to them, like, anytime, anywhere. Like, get the message out to them. Like, tweet them.
Okay, he's gonna draw.
Yeah.
As if Floyd Mayweather's not a draw already. But is there any hope in hell this gets out of the first round? Like, can this guy box?
Who can box?
With Floyd Mayweather?
Well,
no.
Not with Floyd Mayweather, but he can box. And
okay.
if it's anything like the Conor McGregor fight, Floyd Mayweather will let him hang around. Let him hang around.
Hmm.
And
yeah,
then he'll put him out.
All right.
This is all about putting something fluffy on top of a cake.
Right.
But you really have to try to sell the cake itself. And that's going to be the undercard to this thing.
Right.
The days of Floyd Money Mayweather getting sanctioned title fights or big money fights as a pro boxer are gone. Yeah. This is what he is now. Same with what's his name that just fought Tyson?
Roy Jones.
Roy Jones Jr. Those guys, their days are gone. In terms of being legitimate sanctioned fighters, this is what they are now. They're circus sideshows. And if you know what? If Jake Paul doesn't do what he did, I don't think this fight happens.
Mm-hmm.
I think the fact that the Paul name has now been attributed with these circus sideshow fights with victory, and Jake Paul went out and called out Conor McGregor. He went and called out. Who else did he call out, Tid?
Dylan Danis, right. Right?
So,
who gives a shit?
Let me ask you this:
it's a whole new level of entertainment. But go ahead, Dan. Make your last point, and then we're going to introduce our guest.
Since we're on the circus level of entertainment, doesn't that make Nate Robinson a draw? Like, who wouldn't want to see his next fight?
You know what? You know what's really funny?
Like the guy who got knocked the fuck out. You wouldn't be curious to see, like, how's he going to survive the next fight? Who's he going to fight?
There's no next fight. In fact,
people would want to see it.
No,
His next fight is going to be with diabetes. I'm telling you straight up.
He got killed worse on Twitter than he did in the ring.
Know,
yeah, he is still
know,
sitting to this day. He's sitting on the couch just eating ice cream right now going, like, please stop. Stop murdering me online.
Do you know what's funny? And I'm just going to make this point and get to our guest. There's a trend going on social media right now where kids walk up to each other while they're filming and they go, Nate Robinson, and they just knock out wherever they are.
It's crazy.
You see like a kid sweeping the floor at Walmart and his boy goes, Nate Robinson, and he just hits the floor.
That's
Nate Robinson's legacy now.
Before that day, though, that name said Dunkoff champ to me.
Yeah, but bullshit Dunkoff champ. He had 39 attempts. Fuck him. Fucking small ass.
But that's what I associated him with.
Fuck him.
The rim
Ladies and gentlemen,
yeah.
the rim was 5 feet. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time.
Deflated rim.
It is time, ladies and gentlemen, for the big hello. And this week's guest is no stranger to hip-hop heads. He's released 5 huge albums. He's won 4 Juno Awards. And, of course, he's no stranger to the Godfathers of Podcasting, as he appeared on this show way back in episode 9. Since that time, he released a couple of groundbreaking singles produced by Classified, Hurt Everybody, and Backdraft. And now we are one day away from him dropping his 3rd straight banger, and coincidentally, it's titled One Day Away. Let's check out a trailer real quick. Can I get an amen? Oh, hallelujah. You God's child, don't let the devil go and fool ya. It's real when you're staring in the river. Reflection is getting more clearer, getting more realer. You can handle it or you can peel out. You thought of that for a quick second, then you offer that. It's the Naka, yes, Chizraka, party while I'm drinking. My rhymes will bust a hole through your thinker. Forget your strategies when you battle international record sales. People try, but they fail. It's the Chizzo, it's the Chaka. Surround my street like your blocker. This is Shock Clay.
Wow, you knew the lyrics better than I did.
Hey, man. He's known for that.
Wow. How you guys doing? How y'all doing?
Good, my bro. What's good, man?
Man, I'm good. I'm good. Just, you know, just getting ready for the big release tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. And, yeah, just setting up for it and going at it again, man. Going at it again.
We are one day away.
That's right. Yeah, literally. I started posting it on Tuesday, and I was like, or yesterday on Monday, and they're like, oh, man, they're going to see this wrong. They're going to think it's coming out Tuesday. But,
yeah, the name it works good for today. Hey, my bro, yo, congrats on the new release, man. I know from personal experience what it's like to have longevity without not everyone kind of recognizing how important and how huge that is, especially being from here. So huge respect to you, brother. And the new music, I noticed, man, it's on a next level, man. How would you describe it compared to, there's a double part, compared to when you first came out and started dropping music, because we're going back decades now. Yeah. And do you ever feel like you have been able to extricate yourself from just being like Northern Touch, Let's Ride? You continually get attached to your classics. But how do you feel about the new material? Because I feel like I'm constantly, you know, justifying, listen to the new stuff. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Do you ever go through that?
Well, yeah, sometimes, because, you know, I was listening to the My Demo record just the other day. And so the old 21 years and, you know, What It Takes and stuff like that. And I remember when I listened back to those records, I like say to myself, I was like, you know, like back then, you know, you weren't really strategizing anything. You were just rapping. And then, you know, you kind of liked, you know, the hook sounded good here, so you put it there. You weren't really worried about the structure of making a bridge and how many bars this should be or that should be. You know, and so I find like, you know, I'll listen to an older song.
Yeah.
On there, and the verse is like 24 bars long, 36 bars long, or whatever. But for some reason, it just kind of fit. It didn't seem long. It just, everything was moving right. Where to like today, it's like, you know, just being through it and understanding, you know, having, I guess, you know, just the experience of going through, hearing how music structures are, you know, kind of hearing what people, you know, the psychology of music even and stuff like that. I find like with it, it's like, you know, sometimes you say to yourself, I wish I knew what I knew now, what I knew back then.
I know.
Where I find myself saying, man, it's great to grab what I had back then, but knowing what I know now. And it goes into like the way that a lot of the new music is coming out, like the Hurt Everybody's and the Backdrafts. And now this new one, One Day Away, is coming. It's like, you know, I'm getting back into that same feel of just flowing and just putting lyrics and flows together, but also understanding the structure of music and the science behind it and the psychology. So it's just working real nice for me right now.
Yes, sir.
Chuck Clair, I want to ask you, and this is sort of piggybacking off Dan's question. When you put out that first album, which was obviously so memorable and so big in the hip hop community, I'm sure that your musical influences, your favorites that you loved to listen to back then, were probably different than who is influencing you now. Can you speak a little bit to that? Like, who were your favorite musical influences, whether they were in hip hop or otherwise, both then and today?
Well, back then it was everything, like, you know, like, well, definitely hip hop. It'd be like almost probably all of our favorite 90s rappers and late 80s, you know, like the Rakims, Big Daddy Kanes, Boogie Down Productions, and Cool Moe Dees, you know, in the 90s, you know, it was the Onyx and the
1, 2, 3, the crew the was called BDP.
Yeah, yeah, you know, but then even I was into, I probably mentioned this before, is like I was also into, you know, the Quiet Riots and the Bon Jovis and the Glass Tigers and the Def Leppards and all that stuff. Yeah, because I used to work at the Exhibition Stadium, and when the right after the Jays left, they used to just have concerts and NASCAR car racing and whatever else they would have there. And I was the guy that ran the hot dogs from the kitchen to the concession stand. So
for real,
yeah. So when Kiss and Midnight Oil and New Kids on the Block and, you know, Garth Brooks was there, I was watching these concerts, you know, for like real. I was there, I'd walk out. So I would see, you know, like the electrifying situations with the live show and the laser lights and the people jumping on top of the truck trailer that's parked beside the stage. And I would just incorporate it into, like, when you go and you see a really good hip hop show, like, yeah, you know, man, like you go and check out like a good Kanye West show or a great Jay-Z show or something like that. You know, you just see that. And so for me, that kind of influenced me all the way into getting into music. And now I still kind of, you know, I won't lie, I still kind of hang back on like the stuff that I liked when I was getting up there. But there are some newer artists that I look at and I like the way the wordplay and flow. You know, like people like J. Cole and Kendrick's and stuff, you know, because I still appreciate the wordplay, you know, the sophistication of rapping, the skill of it.
Definitely.
Stuff. But I also understand music has changed and whichever, but I still listen for the skill more than just like, you know, how it feels type thing.
No doubt, a couple of weeks ago, we had Alan Frew, the lead singer of Glass Tiger, on this show.
Oh, man.
And when Alan was on, we talked about, because I was shocked. I was shocked beyond belief that Dan had in his vinyl collection a Glass Tiger single. I was shocked. I was shocked.
Who doesn't know Don't Forget Me When I'm Gone?
That's not even the single he had.
He didn't know it. He didn't know
the song.
That's not the single he had, bro.
No.
But he had the B-side.
He had the B-side from the same album.
I had the Thin Red Line.
We talked with Alan, and one of the things we said was, and I think Dan was all about this too, right? We said, when COVID is finally over, we are going to find ourselves a big ass venue, and we're going to invite all of the huge musical guests that have been on this show, and we're going to produce a hell of a concert. So Shocks, we got to get you there too, man. It's going to be Shocklair, Danio, Alan Frew, Biff Naked, Maestro Fresh West. Who else are we going to get on there? Who am I missing?
Wordsworth. We got to fly up Big Kish.
Big Kish. Yeah, we got Kenny Wilkerson from the that glam hair metal band in the 80s. We're going to bring them all out.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Wow.
He's a Trump fan. Maybe not him.
Can you find Gowen and Aha?
Yeah, we will find Gowen.
If we can get him on this show, we're going to do it.
Yeah,
that'd be a hell of a music fest, man.
Oh, that would be an amazing music fest. It, like, you know what? They did it over in the States already when they put together, like, the Nellies and the New Kids on the Block and the TLCs. And, you know, like, they were crossing the pop with the hip-hop and everything like that. And, you know, and, like, we grew it up. We listened to the mid-'80s, early 80s. 90s rock and roll and stuff like that, but we're also getting into hip-hop. So if I went and I got a chance to go and see, you know, hear 2 and 2 Platinum Blonde songs, you know, standing in the dark, and I get to see Backbone Flat at the same time, that'd be great.
There's a lot of kids on social media right now that are into this whole thing, like It's Tricky, but Tricky by Run DMC has made a resurgence with the teenage crowd right now.
Amazing.
And like a lot of kids today, like I'm talking kids, like teenagers, they're doing this new thing where they're taking old school 80s and 90s song lyrics and putting them to the rhythms of today with some new track. And it's like, they're making it fit and they're making it, you know, work together. And I'm like, wow, this is really interesting, because a decade ago, kids didn't give a shit about what came before them. And there seems to be this new level of respect for what was there earlier.
Sure.
That's great. That's great. And that's great to see that happening, because that was one of the things that were lacking, that was lacking in hip hop, because the music art form was so new. So when we are all turning 30 or so, you know, like hip hop is just turning 30. So, you know, you know, so like now, so back then, and of course, when we were 30, you know, we didn't care about what was coming up before. It was all about us or whatever, or at least we were still in that mind frame of things. to where now it's older, we respect more of what came before. And so as these younger artists get older, but I think that they're going back to check some stuff out.
Here's the thing, though. I gotta say, though, like, when you guys were, you know, when music was first coming out, when you guys were doing it and stuff like that, you were, a lot of people were still paying respect to a lot of music that was before you. Like, you guys were drawing beats from Motown and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, you were still listening to a lot of the stuff. And I think that that's, you know, a lot of people don't think that that's what they're doing today, but they're doing the same thing.
They're sampling.
It's been done for generation over generation over generation, right? Like, you guys killed it. Like, you can look back. And I can remember now, if I go listen to some old Motown stuff and I'm like, oh, that's the backbeat that they used from such and such song.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And that was really cool, right? Yeah. It draws people off of older stuff to make them listen to newer stuff, and newer stuff to make them listen to older stuff, right?
Well, you look at Lil Wayne just put out a mixtape, and it's all on other beats. And even if you listen to Megan Thee Stallion's album, like, you know, you hear Easy Does It and stuff like that from Easy E beats in there. Even Lil Wayne again with his the one that Swizz Beatz did, what the F, bro, ended up, bro, and a special delivery from from G Dep. So yeah, it's good to see. It's great to see that they're looking back, because that's what they need. They need you need guidance from people who have done it before, but then you also put your fresh take in on it, and that's when, you know, you have orange ice cream and all of a sudden it turns into a sherbet.
Now, when you were younger, though, and you were like, you know, you said you listen to these guys, but you still listen to, like, you know, the Quiet Riots and the Duff Leopards and stuff like that. Did you tell your friends?
Man, you know what?
Did you tell your friends?
He listened quietly in his bedroom on his Walkman.
You know, it's funny.
Chuck Clare said, pour some sugar on me.
Not at all. You know why? Because there's a saying that we always say. It's like, don't give shocks to ox. Because if I have the auxiliary cord or the Bluetooth tapping, then you're bound to hear one of those things.
Amazing.
You can ask Solitaire. We would be on, and back when we had to change the CDs if we didn't have like a 6-CD changer in there. And we'd be driving and touring, and we'd be putting CDs in, and man, Guns N' Roses would fly in there just as quick as a Ready to Die would fly in. So that's what they say. They say the shock's got the ox, because that means you could be hearing anything right about
you. You know what you just reminded me of? Cool. Funny little side bit. Dan will get a kick out of this. Probably about a year ago, I was hanging out with Dan and a whole bunch of the guys from Monolith, and everybody was just sort of chilling at the crib one night. And someone gets the idea, I don't know, Dan, maybe 2 a.m. or something when people are mad drunk. And someone gets the idea to get their Google Assistant to bust out music trivia. And everyone's going to try and play music trivia. You remember this, Dan? And it's like, you were mashed. And it was like,
yeah, I don't remember.
It was like, we're going to do music trivia. And I remember Richard from the Monolith. It's like, let's do 80s. And I'm like, 80s. Okay. And everything coming up, Dan's like, yo, this is fucking white boy music, I don't know this shit. And like, I was shocked. Oh yeah, no, that was Dan. And every other man from Monolith, oh, that's Whip It, that's Devo, or that's like, they knew every fucking track. And I'm like, whoa, guy, what were you listening to in grade five?
Fake news. Wow. If you only know me from this show, I'm the worst racist ever, according to this guy.
Y'all, I mean, not the worst, but you're up there.
You know, I like to put my Hall & Oates, bro.
You love your Hall & Oates. I'll give you that. Those are the white boys you like.
There's a few of them that are all right.
Go ahead.
I gotta ask you this, bro, because a lot of people, you know, who know the Canadian hip hop, their constant attachment, or the tie that binds me and you, is your Sky Dome line, okay, from Northern Touch.
Yeah.
Me and Danny O with the Sky Dome when it's in town. Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't need you to do it.
Why not?
Bro,
I'm a fucking hater.
How did you feel when you heard the news that there's talks of them destroying the Sky Dome? Because Donnie's all about that.
Tear that shit down.
How do you feel about that, man? Because I feel like that's a part of our history that's going to be.
Fuck that.
See, if
I'm asking you, motherfucker.
See, if it. Okay, yeah, because
we got some memories in that building, boy.
There's a lot of memories in that building, and yeah. Also it's like it's pretty much a part of our whole skyline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's a part. Like when you're looking at it from the from Lake Ontario, you see the Sky Dome beside the CN Tower. So I like to keep that up. I do think unless they can find something to do with it, it's just right now, aside from the nostalgia and the history it has.
Right.
It's just a big open space that can't really be used for anything other than baseball. And we have to have a really good team to fill it or a Duran Duran concert or Janet Jackson when, or something
when,
like that.
So
you know?
When was it built?
88. Well,
yeah. That's it.
It opened in 89. Yeah, it's not even that old. But
this thing ain't even 50 years old.
It's become archaic quickly.
It's a fucking albatross. And let me tell you something. Dan wouldn't understand this because Dan's 5'5". But for guys like Tid and I that are man-sized, when we go to the Sky Dome, it is not a comf evening.
Bro.
Okay. And Dan, you have literally sat beside me at a Jays game when we're sitting there and we're like this. Right, yeah. We're like this, and Manzer shoulder to shoulder,
and I've
got my knees up against the guy's chair in front of me, and the guy in front of me looks and goes, "Can you stop pushing my chair?"
Yo.
And Dan's like, "Yo, the motherfucker's 6'8", leave a brother alone." And I'm like,
"Hilarious though, like I've never seen anybody get in trouble for being tall." Like, he
right?
Was, yeah, they were shitting on his legs. They were like,
"But here's the thing. Here's the
no
thing. And I do the same thing. I'll go there, and then it's like, forget it. I can't sit here no more. So I get up, and you go stand at the back, and then all of a sudden they come over to you, and they're like, "Why are you just standing here? Why don't you go take your seat?" And it's like, "Bro, do you understand what's happening here?" And it ain't just there. It's a lot of places. Massey Hall, tear it down too. Get rid of all these little ass seat places.
You know what, they should do? They should do what they did with the Maple Leaf Gardens. I'm sure there's somebody that can figure something out and make
turn Sky Dome into Loblaws.
Maybe a giant Metro or Costco.
No,
or
wow.
Dallas.
I'm joking.
Dallas did the right thing, right? They were like, "Listen, we have an entire town full of fat ass motherfuckers, so we can only make the seats inside of the stadium so big. And anybody bigger than that, we're gonna make this section where you can just stand there and watch the game while it's happening, right?" And that's
Isn't
what they've
the
done.
WestJet area?
No, yeah, it's do they do that? Oof. That's what see, Donnie. This is what we're restricted to now. We're just gonna have to stand and watch.
Yeah, standing room only.
Wait, can we bring our own chair? Can we bring our own chair?
Yeah, we gotta pay to bring our chair.
But I'm down with them getting a new stadium. I like the history and the nostalgia of the Sky Dome and the way that it works the thing. But I think if they were to build a new one, like when we did the Sky Dome, when they build it, I think we would build like probably the best, newest, state of the art one. Leading the whole situation.
So two things.
You guys had that Maple Leaf Gardens thing too, though, right?
And now it's a grocery store.
And York University or something like that.
Yeah.
Basketball's in there and all this other stuff.
I mean,
so, I don't know what they do, but Sky Dome's pretty big. But, like, I don't know. I would hate to see it go down, but
I know.
It's going to go there. It'd be great.
So three points on that. One, the talk is that when they do demolish it, it's going to turn the whole footprint of Sky Dome into condominiums. That's number one. They're not going to try to repurpose the building. They're going to tear the shit down, and they're going to turn it into condos. A new stadium would likely be around Cherry Beach area, right on the waterfront. That's what they're talking about, with way more parking, with a little bit better in and out from the highway. That's also what they're saying, because, like, let's be honest, getting from the highway to the dome and then back again after the game is a fucking nightmare.
It is.
Yeah.
And they're talking about making it in line with more of the modern stadiums, with a little bit more legroom, higher seating. So with the more legroom,
all he cares about. It's about the
fuck. Yes, I have not had that issue in any other stadium in the United States ever once. Fuck this guy. I don't give a shit just because you're 5'3" and don't care.
How did I get shorter in the past?
I'm getting more honest as I drink more booze. Now, the other thing is, I don't care one bit. Listen, I got lots of great memories there. I was one of those fucking idiots in 1993 that ran on the field and picked up a scoop of dirt after Joe Carter touched them all. I was one of those fucking idiots that was there watching wrestling. I was one of those fucking idiots at WrestleMania 6. I was one of those fucking idiots at WrestleMania 18. Yeah. I was sitting there backstage with all the guys when everything was happening with Rock and Hogan. I did all that shit. And you know what? If they gave me the option, I would push the button and detonate the whole fucking place. It is a goddamn albatross. I am over it. It was cool. Oh, the dome opens so slowly. That's great. That was so dope 30 years ago. Yeah. Now I don't care. Everybody has a retractable roof and they're all better. They're all better.
And you know, I see what you're saying about the waterfront, because didn't they just bring in those bridges across the St. Lawrence? So if they're going to do it, they're doing the waterfront up, and it might be a nice waterfront.
It would look dope. Yeah.
If they can make something that looks like Camden Yards, a combination of Camden Yards and the building they have in Seattle with the retractable roof, I will just jizz all over myself. That will be the best stadium in baseball. Wow. You know, because right now, watching anything there is painful. Like anything.
Yeah, I heard. We were the first one with the National Geographic, though.
That's the thing is that we were the first ones with the retractable, but because of that, we're the oldest stadium there.
Exactly. Yeah. That's true, man.
Shox, we're running out of time, but I want to ask you a question, not necessarily about hip hop, not necessarily about Skydome, but I want to ask you a question about stuff that's going on in the world that the three of us were chatting about before you joined us. Mm-hmm. The question came up, and Dan has very staunch beliefs on this topic. Tid and I think, are a little bit more loose. Nobody on this planet has been able to escape any of the COVID-19 news, obviously. Now the latest news is talk about deployment of a vaccine. So I want to ask you, I threw this question to the boys earlier, and I want to ask you to, let's fast forward. Let's say it's summer or fall of 2021, and the vaccine has already gone out. It's been administered to those in old age homes. It's been administered to frontline healthcare workers. It's been administered to, you know, all of those high priority people, the high risk individuals. And now your family doctor says, all right, Mr. Choclair, it's time for your immunization. And are you going to be like, fuck no, get away from me? Or are you going to be like, yeah, doc, I'm down?
No, first question, does your doctor call you Mr.
You're like,
Shocker?
That would be the best. I would
what else would he call
that?
Him? Of course he does. What else would he say?
He calls me
Mr. He's Mr. Lair.
He says, what's up, Chizzy?
Nice.
He said, Choclair walks in, he goes, oh, it's the Chiznaka.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
We might be talking about a different doctor.
Doctor of Thugonomics.
You know what? I would, honestly, okay, so here's where my thought is. At first, I was definitely more than skeptical because we had Orange Pumpkin talking about it, and we could never really trust him, right?
Sure.
But then you kind of listen to some of the doctors and stuff in the Fauci thing. But the more he talks about it, this is just me. The more he talks about it is the more I'm more nervous about it. The more other people talk about it, it's more I can see that, you know, like there's actually legitimate people that are like, no, we're not just trying to run, like it has to be safe. So I could look at it like this. It's like when people go, like if like smallpox or the measles, I think last year or a couple of years ago when there was an anti-vaccine situation that was coming in, it came back when it was gone for like 60, 70 years.
Right.
You know, so at this point, like, you know, when, you know, like, you know, when you have your kids and they go and get immunization, you're not thinking about it because it's been going on for years and it's pretty much proven safe. This, I'd say, just because it's been politicized in a way, but I do trust the medical situation, because you would think an oath to somebody, would they take it seriously, especially if you're a doctor, your whole thing is to help people. Sure. I think that because it was October and now they're doing it in January and February, I think they would have enough time period in between it that if something was going to be happening, I would be like, okay, no, or they would stop something. I would feel more comfortable in doing it, because if I felt comfortable, I wouldn't want my children or even myself to just get COVID or like the measles or smallpox because I didn't take something that was proven or known to be something that's right. good for you. You right. know what I mean? And that's yeah. the one part, is just to know how good. Everybody's skeptical about how good they think it's going to be for you because it's new.
Right.
So you got to, you have to really put your trust in the people that are going to do it. And, and you have to have that type of trust within the people that are doing it. So, you know,
no doubt, brother, you got to give it its test run, man. Like, I ain't first in line. That's all I'm saying.
That's why I was happy with it. I would be in October. Yeah. Let January to September figure it out.
You know,
truth be told, Dan ain't been first in line for nothing.
Wow, they are new today, Daniel.
Bro,
from time.
Late, always.
You know what it is? It's my bitterness. It's my bitterness, Chaclair, because he's been holding me down for 20 years with my MC skills.
Oh.
He refuses to. Wow, he refuses to back me. He refuses okay. to back me when I want to release a single. He's like, nah, fuck. Guy, I'll drop a few bars and he'll be like, all right, man, that was nice, but shut the fuck up. And this guy will not back
me. I was saying that.
Okay, fine. You don't want my opinion and jump ship. We got a legend and a Juno Award winner. We got my dude Shock there. Why don't you rhyme for Shocks right now? Let him tell you if you can make it Canadian rap idol.
Freestyle, go.
Listen, I'm not just gonna off the top three of the
us.
Dome.
No. The three of us will be the judges.
Yeah.
The three of us will be the judges. You've just walked into the room. You opened your horse tooth mouth. Let's see what you got.
Yeah.
I could drop that. I could drop that rhyme that I did like a couple
what
months
you
ago.
On?
Yeah, go. That was shit. That was shit. Try again.
Wow.
No, wow. I mean right now. There you go. Let's go. Come on.
Hater. You know what? Well, I would love to, but we are late on time. I tell you what. Here's my promise.
Yeah,
In 2021, Chaclair, when you join us on this show again, I will throw down for you, okay? I will tear it apart. No, I will spit bars. I will murder Dan. I will just throw down fire. And you're going to be like, yo, who the fuck is this guy? I need to produce him. And that's what's going to happen.
You can't come steal my rhyme books.
Bars, okay? Here's the truth. Bars would be the only thing need be spit, and everything else would be swallowing.
Now that's a bar.
That's
what?
Fire.
What? Is that how it's supposed to be done?
That's exactly how it's done.
In the words of Rakim, this is how it should be done.
This is how it should be done.
No doubt, bro.
The last comment I'm going to make is this. I always get a kick out of this, even though it's a lifetime ago. I always find it funny. Like, I was about to say, you know, to Chaclair, as we say goodnight, happy holidays. But I know I can say Merry Christmas. I know you went to a Catholic high school. And the reason I know that is because when I was in high school, the girl I was dating in high school used to always come and tell me, and she'd be like, this guy Kareem is always hitting on me.
Well, man, now I'm trying to figure out what girl that was.
don't try, guy. You can't figure out.
All of them is the correct answer.
It was so funny. And she was like, this guy's always rapping, and he thinks he's a rapper. And it was not long after that when you released your first album.
That was her talking about you.
Yeah.
Well, before you get out of here, I got to say this to you, brother. We've been brothers a long, long time now, man.
Yeah.
Crazy how much time has flied. But as I've kind of made a tradition here on the show, and I always do the show in front of my music collection. You know, you've been my boy, but I've also been a very long time fan.
Oh, look at
you
that.
Know, nice. I got collections for days. Oh. We could go on and on with my collection. And I just want to send you on behalf of everybody who's anybody in hip hop, the recognition that you deserve for having that longevity, that constant go get 'em attitude in a world, and especially in this country, bro, where you know the entertainment industry continues to be a tough one to crack, and you keep it going nonstop with steady fire, bro. So all praise is due to the Chiznaka, right, man. I continue to be a fan in spite of being your bro, man.
Yeah, thank you very much, man. I appreciate the support from all of you guys there. And definitely, I'm always going to be coming back. I'm looking forward to the great, what we're going to call it, Live Aid concert with the 80s yeah. rock band and the hip-hop. And I'm looking forward for the freestyle. And one more time, Yeah, or maybe the way Danny O's talking, maybe I shouldn't be looking forward to that at all.
Yeah, fuck this guy, no, man. You know, he's just a hater.
It'll be the highlight of the night. Don't worry.
Just a racist ass hater.
What are we going to call it? We'll call it COVID's, Ben, COVID's 21.
COVID's 21.
COVID's 21.
COVID's 21. And you get COVID's by listening to Donnie rap. And
but it's worth it.
And once he does it, he'll officially be one of the artists on the show. So he'll have to perform at the event.
Whoa.
You know what I'm saying?
But, okay.
But let me tell you this.
I've already performed on this. I've already performed on this show.
Okay, fine. So you're going to be what? The opener or the headliner? He's going to book it.
I don't have an ego. I don't mind going on first. I don't have an ego. I'll get the crowd hype.
Yo, man, speaking of support, Shocks, I know it's been 3 years, but 3 years ago, I did my anniversary release party for the Dear Hip Hop album, and you blessed the stage that night. And it's been 3 years. I don't know what took me this long, but we finally edited the concert. So I'm letting you know right here on air that we are actually going to be releasing footage from the concert finally this month. And so there are separate videos coming out, including your 21 years performance, the Rubbin performance, and one of the highlights of my night, the performance of Northern Touch, which included obviously Thrust, Bishop Brigante, and myself all on stage. And man, if you haven't seen it since over the past 3 years, we had so much fun that night, and
yeah,
I can't wait to drop it. So I want to also thank you publicly for being part of what was the night of my career, bro. Couldn't have done it without you, man. So video is coming real, real soon.
Dope. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you, man, and I appreciate it. It's always great to touch the stage with you. You guys love it sometimes. So much love for you guys. And yes, tomorrow, December 9th,
yes,
9 a.m., one day away, produced by Classified. We're going to go and make this thing smash it all up. It's a great song, great video.
Where do they go at 9 a.m.? Where?
Yeah.
YouTube and go to YouTube, and it'll be on all the major platforms and everything like that. So definitely,
all right. So amazing.
We'll get a link up as well.
The way you were talking, I thought it was going to be like the iPhone when they just gave everyone the U2 album, and people are like, "The fuck is this?"
That'll be the next one on the S14.
Yeah, everyone's alarm goes off at 9 a.m. and it's the song. That'd be the shit.
That's
dude,
it. That's
people will be throwing their phones thinking it was an Amber Alert.
You know what? They'll throw the phone out because they're upset, but because it's programmed in the phone, they'll have to buy another one, and that's just an extra
right.
sale for me.
There you go. See? See?
Chaclair, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. We will definitely talk to you in 2021. Be safe and all the best.
All right. Peace out, y'all. Much love, everybody.
Much love, bro.
Thank you.
Peace.
There he goes, ladies and gentlemen. That's the Chiznaka.
Wow. No doubt, man. Good time.
Fun, huh? Yeah. Always fun. Always
fun. Two for
two
on this show, man. That's my dude right there, man.
He just shows up, brings fire, and leaves. That's it.
How perfect is that? We had him on one day away from the release.
One day away.
That's it. That's it, man. Before we get out of here, man.
Yeah.
No, go for it, man.
No, I was just going to say, because we're talking about today, and today we got a whole lot of birthdays, and I wanted to bring this up because I know that we've been back and forth about this, and Dan and his love and his knowledge of reggae and his roots into it and stuff like that. And today is a big day. It's a birthday of a man who has been around forever and ever, Mr. Toots Hibbert. His birthday today.
Okay.
You familiar?
Not that familiar, no.
Oh, brother, you got to do yourself a favor.
I know.
It's a fantastic thing.
I just got my Jamaican card pulled.
Revoked.
Right? Here's one of the things, and this is one of the greatest things, because I listen to a lot of stuff, and you know that's the right stuff. But Toots did a song with Willie Nelson. Get that into you right there, right?
Talk about crossovers.
Like Worried Man. Yeah, and this is what we were talking about. We were talking about crossovers with music. And this is one of the greatest things right here. And if you can get a chance, look it up, listen to it. It's fantastic, man. Like totally worth it. And ton. Listen, we would be remiss if we didn't say very quickly today, you know, this week for whenever this show goes up and stuff like that. John Lennon, right? Shot dead. As the Meat Men would say, one down, three to go after that one came out.
You know, Toots Hibbert just passed, eh?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Due to COVID.
Damn.
The Rona got him.
Yep, 100%, right? Much respect for Toots Hibbert, man. Yeah. His stuff is fantastic. Look it up, give it a listen. You're going to actually enjoy it. You're welcome.
I'm realizing who he is, and I have some stuff. I have some records.
You absolutely do. You would. Yeah. It would have been your dad's stuff. Your dad would have been into this like nothing. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
didn't you say, Tid, there was another significant birthday today?
Well, there's been a few of them actually today. Another guy by the Wawa. Do you know who Wawa Watson is?
Do I?
Wawa Watson. He was a guy. His name was Melvin actually, and he was Melvin Ragan, and he was a guy. He worked for Motown. Worked for Motown. He's responsible for what's called the Wawa pedal when you're playing guitar.
The Wawa pedal.
That's where he got his name for Wawa Watson. He's a guy who's been. He was a studio guy. He was responsible. He played the guitar on Papa Was a Rolling Stone. I believe it was. You know that song? And even if I'm not mistaken, hold on. That's I think he even played on Michael Jackson's Off the Wall record as well. Shit. Right? He was a Motown guy. Yeah. Right? Like he was the studio guy. Wawa Watson. So everything that you owe for guitar from that Wawa pedal, for everything real. Like that, right? It was legit. Like this is a dude that you no owe doubt. It to, man. So it's a very important day in music, man, for all over the place.
I know you shouted this out. You mentioned this earlier. Also, like Toots Hibbert, from originally born in Kingston, Jamaica, Bushwick Bill's birthday.
Oh, I'm a huge fan of his, man.
Right? And Ghetto Boys.
And his brothers, Butch and Luke.
No. No. No.
That's Bushwhack.
Oh,
no. No, Donnie is Bushwhack as fuck.
He is Bushwhack as fuck. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Bushwick Bill, man.
Bushwick Bill.
Yeah, the original Kurt Cobain.
Bushwick
Bill. Kurt Cobain.
Yeah, with the shotgun.
That's so dark, Tid.
That's crazy.
Hey, speaking of Luke and Butch, I got to tell you this. For all you wrestling heads out there, Bushwhacker Luke is a guy I love with all my heart. I was always a fan of the Bushwhackers when they were wrestling back in the day, and before that when they were the sheep herders and would make everyone bleed like sons of bitches. Mm-hmm. I got to know Luke quite well when we were touring together and we were doing a bunch of loops across Canada together. I used to almost always ride with him in the same car, and he would just tell stories and stories. He's a great storyteller. And he just posted something recently that he and Butch are going to be going on the autograph signing tour loop come 2021. Butch has not been seen publicly in probably 20 years.
Amazing. Really?
As a Bushwhacker because of his own health issues and everything else that's been going on with him. And Luke said, Butch is ready and we're going to go out together. And I'm like, holy shit, that's awesome. I'm crazy. So stoked for that. I really thought Butch was going to be one of those guys that nobody would mention again until there was an obituary. So I think it's really cool. I'm a huge fan of Luke. I've never met Butch. I'm hoping I get to in 2021. Cool. Guys, thanks so much. This has been a lot of fun.
One second. I got to shout something out. Big shout out to the 6th annual Hip Hop Food Drive. Right. I've been part of the Hip Hop Food Drive for the past couple of years. I've performed in Toronto, Ottawa, and Montreal as part of it. Obviously, it's an annual thing. Shout out to my man Dynamic out in Ottawa who puts it on. Last year, I was in Montreal and Ottawa performing. With COVID this year, obviously, there are no live performances. So it will all be virtual between December 15th and 20th on hiphopfooddrive.com. However, it is going on right now. So please send donations, because obviously it won't be food. It's money that we're looking for to buy food for 6 different food banks across Canada. It's hiphopfooddrive@gmail.com. That will be the email address you can e-transfer money to if you're in Canada. And hiphopfooddrive.com, of course, is the website to go and learn more and also see the virtual performances between the 15th and 20th. I'm proud to be a part of it again. And obviously an important initiative, so please support it.
Absolutely. Thanks, boys. That's all we got time for this week. Maybe I'm going to see if I can dig up here in the computer and pull up the archive of my big freestyle rap that I did on the show. Just to silence the haters.
Change your name to the COVID kid.
Man.
Right? Because you're making our ears sick.
At this point, I'm just happy to be called a kid. On behalf of my bro Danny O and the incomparable Chris Tidwell, my name is Donnie DeSilva. This is episode 35. We are done this party, and we have been podcasting since before podcasting was even called podcasting. Go buy your merch. We'll see you next week. Done.
Oh, that's hot. That's hot.
It's getting serious on this track, fam.
Often imitated, never duplicated. It can't be stated that we originated. Know that we created our style sophisticated. I know you're fascinated with what we cultivated. Competition's frustrated because they stagnated. Got them feeling antiquated. They so infatuated because we're animated. Our steez are mutilated. That's why we liberated. Came back and terminated. Other shows annihilated. Now people captivated because we're opinionated. And you we educated, your minds we penetrated, your thoughts illuminated, your actions stimulated, your support appreciated. That's
wow.
It's
wow.
Are you my Caucasian?
Wow.